Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to continue to talk about the letter to the Hebrews. I hope you've had a chance to join us this week. It's been a good week. God's word is so rich, so powerful, so life-transforming. And the Lord has much there for you. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the programs, I really do encourage you to go to our website and you can listen to them right there. They're archived, or download them on whatever device works for you, or go get the Renewal Ministries app. You can listen to the programs anytime you want. I know in many places my program's on pretty early in the morning and lots of people don't get up that early. And so Sister Ann Shields' program is there and lots of other good things. Now, today, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take up the section from Hebrews chapter 4 that we actually are going to have in tomorrow's reading, because I want to read back into many of the things we've talked about this week through it. It's a good optic, and it's a great exhortation for us to be able to lay hold of God's word more powerfully and dynamically in our lives. And so this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. I'll start at verse 11. It says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, that no one fall by the same sort of disobedience," the rest in Christ that we're given. And there's been exhortations, you know, we talked about it yesterday in chapter 3 and 4, warning us to not fall back into slavery, to not mess around with sin, because it's powerful. It can enslave us again. It can give us hardened hearts where we resist God. We get blinded by the sin. It affects us profoundly. We can walk away from the Lord. One of the things that sin does, it just takes away, it sucks all the spiritual life out of us if we're not careful, the deeper we get into it. And we move from living under the dominion of the Holy Spirit, the power of God who wants to renew us and bring us into the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And friends, it really does happen. Sometimes you feel like, oh gosh, I'm hardly making any progress. But if we just keep showing up every day, and we resist the best we can the temptations of the enemy. You know, every time you resist any kind of temptation, even the littlest things, in the effort you make is so pleasing to the Lord. He knows it's an act of love and a desire, and he's there to help you. And if you fall, he's there to pick you up. He's there to bring you to confession. He wants to speak to you in the confessional. He wants to absolve you from your sins. He wants to help you walk in freedom. He's in your corner. He's always in your corner. He loves you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so he's ready to help. He stands ready to help, and he wants to walk with you, and he will produce in you what he promises to produce. You're not outside his promises. You're not the orphan who's, you know, an interloper who's somehow outside the inheritance. Not at all. You inherit everything he's promised. This is what the devil wants to hide from you. He wants to give you false rewards. He wants to lead you and seduce you into escaping the pains in your life, the confusion, the anger, the frustration, by getting you enslaved to things that temporarily either provide some kind of oblivion, some pleasure, some distraction, whatever. And he'll even give you lots of good stuff. He'll even encourage you to stay focused and get obsessed with good stuff, just so you don't take time. So there's not enough time in your life to be able to really get serious about the pursuit of God and to seek first the kingdom of God. If he can get you to seek God second, third, fourth, and fifth, he's won an enormously important battle in his strategy against you. No question about it. So we want to be able to respond with all our heart, and this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Jesus doesn't call us to something he's not going to give us the power to help us walk in. So when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his way of holiness, and everything will be added unto you, that's a promise. If you seek first, you're going to get it. If you seek second, third, or fourth, the blessing and the grace is not going to come to you, because your heart really is set on something else. So today's reading, or tomorrow's reading applied to our program today, is taken from Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. The word of God is living and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern the reflections and the thoughts of the heart. So beautifully put. Let me read from another translation, the RSV. Catholic translation. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God it's alive. Why is it alive? Because it's breathed by the Holy Spirit. These letters on a page, they're just dead letters, just like any other words on a page. Except when you read them with the help of the Holy Spirit makes these words come alive. The revelation that's there, the revelation is the work of the Spirit that's taking these words and making it possible for us to grasp them in faith and to see them. It's a gift the Holy Spirit gives us. It's part of the Holy Spirit's mission is to open up the Father's plan of salvation, to open up our relationship with the Father, to reveal the glory of the Son, to help us see, to remove the veil that's over our eyes. So this is a God-breathed living word, and it's effective because when God speaks, things happen. When he spoke, all things came into being. God is not a man that he should lie. It's the truth, and it's the truth that comes with power, and it's the power of God that's effective to transform our lives. We have to receive that word. He's not going to impose that word on us. We have to engage that word, and with just raw, deep honesty, opening our hearts to it. And he said it's a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because it not only can penetrate the flesh, but it even can penetrate between soul and spirit, right? That we have a soul. Everybody has the soul is the living principle that animates our material bodies. There is the spirit, the place deep, deep within us where we touch God, where he touches us. Whereas Romans chapter 8 says, the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit, revealing to us that we're children of God. God's word penetrates, in other words, to the core and the depths of the human heart, to our being. And it exposes what's there. It discerns the reflections that are in my heart. It helps me see what I'm cooking up inside. It shines the light of God and exposes what might be hidden in darkness. It helps me see what's right, what's wrong. It helps me come to terms with the reality of the depth of what's inside me. Remember what Jesus said when he talked about the human heart, when he was asked whether or not eating certain things, behaving certain ways would defile the human heart. And Jesus said, it's not what comes from outside that defiles us. It comes from within. And John's gospel, I think, said, Jesus knows our frame. He knows what's in the heart of man. Anger, bitterness, rivalry, conceit, lust, hatred, violence, jealousy, envy, all these things are present in the human heart. That's why he's coming to give us a new heart. That's why he's coming to transform us from the inside out, because we need it. And it's God's word that gives us discernment. There's just so, look at our culture today, friends. I saw a video yesterday. I was listening to a video on critical theory, critical racism, stuff that's so popular in our culture today, the woke reality. And there was a young girl in Portland who was at the microphone, and there was kind of a mob there. She must have been, looked like a grad student or something. And she introduces herself, and she had a long list of things that described herself, genders and identities, and had like 7 or 8 of them. And it was just mind-boggling. She's saying she's all these things. She's not just a woman. She's not just a female. She's not just a child of God. She's like 7 or 8 different things at one time, half of whom hardly even make any sense. And she's declaring these things and affirming them. And standing right behind her is a priest in the crowd with his collar on. And as she's saying these things, that she's like multiple genders and multiple sexual orientations and all kinds of things happening at the same time. And she's angry and she's violent and she's glad that she is and all the rest of it. And he's standing right behind her clapping and he's affirming it. And she's just lost. She's trapped. She's declaring that she's free. she's believing somehow that she understands herself in such a penetrating way, but it's changing constantly. And somehow this Catholic priest is there applauding. The Word of God tells us who we are. God made us. We are who God says we are. And everything else is either an act of rebellion or serious delusion, mental illness even, possibly. God's Word is living and active. It penetrates to the core of our being. And it's God's Word who discerns, that is, it measures what's in the heart. And it's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And what came out of this girl's mouth as a leader was just stunning in its confusion and its contradiction and its kind of fantasy. And here we are, slaves to the fear of men, going back to the passage we had yesterday, the day before, the devil's strategy to enslave people through the fear of death. Well, one of the things that's happening in the cancel culture and things that are emerging, that God is permitting this to happen. He's exposing, what are you really afraid of? Do you have enough courage to love? That is, to will the good of the other, to will the good. What is the good? God alone is good, Jesus said, right? So people today are pounding their chests and they're shouting their own worldviews, identities, 100 different things, affirming things that are many offensive to God. Some are just completely irrational. And Jesus made it clear. And they're saying, I'm good, and I expect you to celebrate my goodness, this self-creation of mine. And Jesus reminds us, there's no one. Don't call yourself good. There's no one who is good but God. God is the ground of all truth, goodness, beauty. God's the ground of being. This is truth. Truth is what corresponds to reality. It doesn't matter if I create my own truth and spin it and have like 1,000 different dimensions of what it is. The only truth is God's truth. The only goodness is what God calls good. God defines these things, friends. And there, you know, St. Teresa Benedictus said, there's no truth without love, and there's no love without the truth. God's truth. And if we affirm, 1 Corinthians 13, if we celebrate what's harmful spiritually to people, and we affirm it, we fail to love. We fail to do the very thing we were made to do. And so today, people live in fear, and people are shutting out the voice of God. So there is no discernment. I'm the ultimate discerner of what's good, is what's going on in the human heart. And then so the reading today says, no creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. The people blurting such things are going to be held accountable because they're suppressing the truth about God and God's nature. And those who are radically affirming it, like that priest standing behind her, he's not loving her. He thinks he's supporting her. He's not loving her. He's affirming, he's celebrating radical confusion in this person and things that are offensive to God. That's not love. That's one of the great confusions in our time, but it's God's Word that anchors us to reality, and it exposes and discerns all that, friends. So let's take up the Word of God and trust in it with all our hearts. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.